Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 22, Text 34. Patra-pushpa-pala-chaya Mula-valkala-darupi Gandha-nirya-sabhasmasti Tokmai-kaman-vitanvate Patra, by their leaves. Pushpa, flowers. Pala, fruits. Chaya, shade. Mula, roots. Valkala, bark. Darupi, and wood. Gandha, by their fragrance. Niryasa, sap. Pasma, ashes. Asti, pulp. Tokmai, and young shoots. Kaman, desirable things. Vitanvate, they award. These trees fulfill one's desires with their leaves, flowers, and fruits, their shade, roots, bark, and wood, and also with their fragrance, sap, ashes, pulp, and shoots. Next verse. Etavac janmasa palyam dehi nami hadehishu pranair artair diya vacha shreya acharanam sada. It is the duty of every living being to perform welfare activities for the benefit of others with his life, wealth, intelligence, and words. Purport. This translation is quoted from Srila Prabhupada's Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, Chapter 9, Text 42. Etavaj janma saphalyam dehina miha dehishu pranayar artair diyava cha shreya acharanam sada. The duty of every living being is to act for shreya, or ultimate welfare, as distinct from prayas, or immediate welfare, immediate benefit. The Prabhupada gives the example that a child wants to play. That's immediate benefit. But the parents know that he has more important things. He has to study. He has to look to his future. That's long-term benefit. But of course, from the spiritual point of view, that long-term benefit is short-term. The real long-term benefit is to revive one's eternal relationship with Krishna and go back home, back to Godhead. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his followers, like the Goswamis, acted for the long-term benefit of the living entities. Namo Mahabharanyaya. Lord Chaitanya is praised as the most magnanimous, yet he never opened any hospitals, never opened any chicken farms, never established a program to feed hungry students so they could stay in school, never went out to, never raised campaigns to help the victims of natural disasters, never opened any orphanages, never did anything of consequence for ameliorating the material conditions of living entities. Such welfare work is praised by those who act for such welfare work are praised by dogs, hogs, camels, and asses. Svavid varahostra karai samstuta purusha pashu. They praise someone who's busy acting for the mundane welfare of others and who have no taste for hearing or chanting the glories of the Lord. But Lord Chaitanya wanted to act for the ultimate benefit. Shreya kareva chandrika vitaranam. Vidya vurujivanam anandam vuribardhanam. Pratipadam purnamrita ashadhanam. Sarvatma snapanam param vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu presented that the real welfare work for all living entities is to revive their Krishna consciousness, especially by giving them the opportunity to hear and chant the glories of the Lord. That was his welfare work. The Goswamis also, Lokanam Hitakarino Chibhuvane Manyo Sharanyakaro. They didn't perform some paltry philanthropic activities to get good publicity. They acted to revive the eternal consciousness of the living being, and therefore they're honored throughout the three worlds. Lokanam hitakarino, they actually acted for the welfare of others, and therefore chibhuvane manyo, they're honored throughout the three worlds, not by some small-time insignificant politicians or journalists, but by everyone. Dhira dhira janapriyo. By the ruffians and by the gentle persons. The Goswamis, by their ideal character and by their genuine welfare work of spreading Krishna consciousness, became dear to everyone. This is Shreya, ultimate welfare, not Preya, the temporary welfare of this material body. Therefore, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur sometimes said that the neophyte devotee who's ringing the bell in the temple is doing better welfare work than all of the philanthropists and humanitarians of the world. So, etavaj, janma, safalya. Safalya means perfection. This is perfection, to engage pranayar, artayar, dhya, vacha. Pran means one's life energy. Artha, one's wealth. Dhya, intelligence. Vacha, one's mind. One's words. Prabhupada says elsewhere that if possible, one should give one's life for Krishna. If that's not possible, one's wealth. If that's not possible, suppose I have no wealth, then I can use my intelligence for Krishna. And finally, no, I have not very much intelligence. All right, just repeat these transcendental words, the words heard from Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam, or the words of the Mahamantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The acharanam, practical activity, sada, always. One should always act for the welfare of others. Otherwise, Srila Prabhupada said that one is doing violence. If one doesn't give people Krishna consciousness, then that negligence is a kind of violence. One should try to distribute the message of Krishna as widely as possible. That will be good. I'll stop here and see what kind of questions there are, if any. Mr. Jivananda Prabhu.
I've heard it argued that some people in our movement say, yes, but if we do these activities like feeding the poor and helping out when there's a disaster or whatever, it will improve our preaching because the public will see us with a different eye.
That's your idea. But that wasn't Prabhupada's idea. When Jayapataka Maharaj wrote to Srila Prabhupada that there was a typhoon and the devotees went out and distributed prasadam and got good publicity, so should we continue to do this work? And Prabhupada said you should distribute prasadam as much as possible, but not to the emergency place. Not to the emergency place. That's not our program. Everyone wants to do that. There was some disaster in Orissa, and everybody was falling all over themselves to be seen helping the disaster work. There was a big poster. Sonia Gandhi was appealing for the campaign for the poor people of Orissa. And there was some, the reports were, as usual, that the welfare workers were impeded by so many people trying to get in there and do something that it was just getting in the way. Everybody wants to be seen. Every politician wants to be seen as a great guy, because as soon as there's a disaster, the president flies to the scene of the disaster to show his concern for the poor victims. Huh? Get his picture taken. That's not our duty. When Giriraj Maharaj was president of ISKCON Juhu, he was regularly reporting to Srila Prabhupada on his activities, because practically Prabhupada was the GBC of India. So he said that we're distributing prasadam, this much quantity, and going to the poor areas and so on. And Prabhupada said, yes, can distribute prasadam as much as possible, but not to the poor areas. Our business is to distribute prasadam to everyone, rich or poor, not specifically to the poor. Otherwise it becomes karmakandiya, which means mundane, fruitive activity, pious activity. And Prabhupada said, and do not advertise, we will be self-advertising. The program will be self-advertising. So you have your very intelligent idea about how to push forward the Krishna consciousness movement by doing mundane welfare work to get applause from the public. But the founder Acharya said, don't do it. So whose opinion should we take, yours or his? Anyway, if you want a good publicity, feed a journalism student.
Yes.
How did you see that Prabhupada was one time in Mayapur, and he saw the all poor people was fighting for prasadam, and then he feel so. I was here lecture that then Srila Prabhupada, out of his compassion, he started crying and then said, within 10 miles in a temple, so nobody should. Hungry. So is this true or?
Well, I don't know if how much of this. It sounds like maybe more than one thing has been put together, you know, sort of an amalgamation of different things that happened at different times. Prabhupada was very sorry to see people hungry, and therefore he wanted prasadam distribution profusely in Mayapur. No place in the database does it say that he said no one within 10 miles. But it seems attested by reliable persons. But that meant that prasadam should be distributed from Mayapur. or where we go with our Sankirtan. That was what he, also what he told Jayapataka, not to the emergency place. Prasadam should be distributed from our temple or where we go when we go for Sankirtan. You go for chanting, distribution of the holy name. Along with the holy name, prasadam should be there. Or you go for some preaching engagement. Along with that engagement, prasadam must be distributed. Not that Prabhupada just wanted us to send out trucks for a 10-mile radius and drop off care packages with the local schools and orphanages. No. They should come to our temple. That was what Prabhupada told Jayapataka Maharaj. And so far from it was the idea that you just drop off prasadam somewhere and you're helping people because it's prasadam is so far from Prabhupada's instruction. You've been to the prasadam pavilion in Mayapur that was constructed by Srila Prabhupada's desire. He asked that they build such a thing for distributing prasadam. You've seen that building. So there are those turnstiles, like in the subways or something, you know those, so people have to go one by one passing through those turning things. You know what I mean? There's a little mechanical arrangement. There's a like little bars, and people have to go through those turning bars to go in and out, yes? Why is that there? To control the crowd. That's what I thought also. So that so many people will rush in, so you have to control the crowd with these turnstiles. That's what I thought. But here's what was told to me by Madhusevita Prabhu, who was a brahmachari in Mayapur at that time. Prabhupada was seeing the prasadam distribution, and he gave the instruction that people should be given as much prasadam as they like, but they should not be allowed to take any prasadam out. He said, otherwise they'll mix it with their fish and it will be aparad. He said, so you should check. You know, because people will, they'll under their cloth, they'll take prasad out. So you should check that no one is taking prasadam out. There they should have as much as they want, but no one should take any prasadam out. So it was Madhusevita's, one of his duties was to check to see that no one is taking prasadam out, and therefore these turnstiles were installed. Now how well does that fit with the picture that Prabhupada wanted us to just go and drop off prasadam for a 10-mile radius so no one would go hungry? They should come to our temple. In Baroda, there's a very nice program our Basu Ghosh Prabhu has instituted. Every day, I think every day, they make a big pot of khichdi, and in the evening, generally some donor is there to sponsor. And in the evening, people come to the temple, and there's a big lawn at the temple, and prasadam is profusely distributed to anyone who comes. Rich people, poor people, any people. Because when you come to the temple, there should be darshan, there should be kirtan, there should be pravachan and distribution of knowledge, books, and there should be prasadam. Mantrahinam ashishtanam, vidihinam ashishtanam mantrahinam adakshinam. Shuddha virahitam yagyam tamasam parichakshate. A yagya in which there's no prasadam distributed is in the mode of ignorance. Therefore, Prabhupada always insisted there must be prasadam. When he was giving classes Monday, Wednesday, and Friday night at 26 Second Avenue, there had to be prasadam. Whatever it might be, cut up some apples, there must be prasadam. I was said some. Prabhupada was speaking at some church, maybe it was in Boston anyway. Maybe it was the Unitarian Church, some church. And he was speaking, and there was no prasadam, so he had the devotees. I remember Jadarani is sitting there while Prabhupada's speaking, and she's cutting up apples because there has to be prasadam distribution. The program is not complete unless prasadam is distributed. And how should it be distributed? As profusely as possible, as opulently as possible. When at one point Prabhupada was pushing book distribution, just leave one or two people back at the temple to worship the deities. One person can stay back in the temple to see to the deity worship. Everyone else can go out and distribute books. There was so much pushing book distribution. Then the devotees got the idea that, well, the Sunday feast, then we should, you know, just have maybe two or three preparations so that everybody can stay out in book distribution. And Prabhupada heard about it. Prabhupada said, no, it should be profuse and opulent, you know, so many preparations as they were doing before. So very important program, prasadam distribution. At our temple, the prasadam should be distributed profusely. But we're not the Red Cross. We're not the Salvation Army. We're not the Green Crescent Society. We're not the Ramakrishna Mission. They may take it as their mission to distribute food to the hungry. But that's not our mission. They're not going to do our work. Why should we do their work?
Thank you, Maharaj. You point out that process should be opulent. So in our case, we see in ISKCON Temple, Sunday feast is really poor. So we are really lack of that side, because sometimes we not pay attention of Sunday feast at all.
Well, so now you know. I'm not the management, but you can discuss with the management. Yes? Hare Krishna. Hold on.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. Many years ago, I had the good fortune to work with Lakuna Maharaj here in Dallas. And many of the devotees probably remember, we had a we had opened like a storefront, kind of a prasadam distribution serve-out for the needy, for the destitute, and for, you know, basically that was the idea, was to distribute prasadam to those in need. And it was for going on for some time, very, very successful. And we had also received tremendous media coverage, favorable, that we were distributing pure vegetarian foodstuffs offered to the Lord to those in need. And then after that time, I remember we had we got permission from the city to distribute prasadam. There was some facility not too far, and we could bring prasadam there. I believe it might have even been prasadam that was left over, that had been cooked in quantity, maybe from the Sunday feast, or I can't remember which, that would otherwise been just thrown out. And so we would bring buckets there, and there would be just lines and lines and lines of homeless and destitute people getting, we were serving out so enthusiastically. And that also went on for several, quite some years, I believe. And it was enlivening to me to see, just like when I used to have the service in the restaurant, to see those transformed, the hearts and the consciousness transformed through the taking the prasadam and the devotees serving out with so much, I think, love and bhakti. So anyway, I don't believe that's going on anymore here, but that was in the day in the 80s going on quite nicely here.
Yeah. My understanding of what Srila Prabhupada wanted us to do is different. I have all respect for Mukunda Maharaj, but my understanding is different. If you look up in the Vedabase, poor feeding, you'll find the Prabhupada said, we're not for poor feeding. It's not a one-time instruction. There are multiple instructions. Do not go to the poor areas. We are not for poor feeding. Why poor? Everyone is poor. Why only the poor men? Why? They're needy.
Out of compassion, no?
Yeah, what about our compassion for the fat cat businessmen?
For the what?
Fat cat businessmen.
Yes, I think they should get prasadam also.
Yeah, they're equally needy. They're not less needy than the so-called, than the homeless or the bums, to use the vernacular word. They're not less needy. They have the same problem. They're suffering from the same disease. We're not meant for moving people from the third-class prison cell to the first-class prison cell. If those people, if we really do something for those homeless people, then they'll have nice homes, they'll have good jobs, they'll get a good education, they'll have money, and they'll go to hell.
Except through the mercy of prasadam.
Except for the mercy of prasadam. But that's the same for everybody.
Yes.
The men who already have the homes, already have the cars, already have the money, already have all of those things, are in the same plight. They're not getting prasadam. But prasadam doesn't just mean food. Prabhupada emphasized, what did Prabhupada emphasize so much? Distribute books. And distribute prasadam. He was very happy when prasadam was distributed. One time I came to Prabhupada in Vrindavan in his last days, some days after I arrived. Prabhupada asked, has anyone been in... Prabhupada asked, what is the report from New York? So I'd passed through New York from Los Angeles on the way. So I was saying to Prabhupada, it's very nice. There are so many brahmacharis, very enthusiastic. Okay, Prabhupada didn't say anything. He said, they're distributing so many books. Prabhupada didn't say anything. I said, the deity worship is going on very nicely. Prabhupada didn't say anything. I said, and they have a nice restaurant. Many people are coming. Prabhupada said, how many people are coming? I said, gave some idea. Prabhupada said, how do they like it? And how many preparations? And what do they charge? You know, everything Prabhupada wanted to know. So then I took the cue from that. I said, and they have prasadam carts in the city going around distributing prasadam. Prabhupada said, what are they distributing? How much are they charging? What are the preparations? How do people like it? How many people? So Prabhupada took it. You know, he took great interest in his saying, again, in the last days, he wasn't eating, but he was asking, are the devotees getting nice prasadam? So Prabhupada gave great importance to distribution of prasadam, but he gave instructions how he wanted the prasadam distributed. It wasn't after the fashion of the welfare workers, target the poor because that's where they'll get the headline, the favorable headlines. That wasn't Prabhupada's plan, and in fact, he spoke against it. Rich or poor, we make no distinction. I mean, you'll find, I'm not making this up. Rich or poor, we make no distinction. The rich man is also poor. Otherwise, our whole movement should be toward the poor. You know, we should be collecting shoes and... you know, all the other stuff that the Salvation Army and Goodwill and all of those people do. That's not what we were told to do. And when we put our energy there, then we'll start to think, first thing is we'll think, well, this is not actually our mission, but it helps our mission because it gives good publicity. Next thing we'll think, well, it's not our mission, but it's so important because people are suffering. So we should do this also. Next thing we'll think, this is our mission. People will think that our mission is to go to the poor areas, to be compassionate, to help the needy, to help the orphans, to help the victims of disasters and tornadoes, because if Krishna's devotees don't do it, and where is our compassion for the suffering souls? And in this way, we become another mundane welfare organization. The Salvation Army actually is famous for doing this sort of work, but their original purpose was to spread the glories of the Lord. Still in England, you'll see now and then there'll be like a Salvation Army, a band of people, you know, musical band in the streets singing hymns and so on. That was their original purpose. But now if you go, now as far as anyone knows, at least in this country, Salvation Army are the people that you call when you have some old stuff to give away. Right? Yeah, when you want to get rid of your old stuff, then you call the Salvation Army.
As I recall, it was a Thanksgiving. There was a big Thanksgiving. You know how the Salvation Army and all of these people, they are distributing turkeys and so many things. And we were distributing a pure vegetarian Thanksgiving.
Yeah, this is the same business, though.
Yeah.
The Salvation Army, when I was a child, I thought salvation had something to do with salvage. Their message was lost. And then our message is that, yes, we're doing the same good work, but vegetarian instead of non-vegetarian. But that's not our movement either. We're not the Vegetarian Society. We don't give a damn whether you're eating vegetarian or non-vegetarian. If you're not connecting yourself with Krishna, then Aghayur Indriya Ramo. What is that? Punjateyate tukham papam. You're eating sinful reactions. Prabhupada wasn't impressed, vegetarian. He said the monkeys are vegetarians. So now our movement is to help the poor, to establish vegetarianism. That's not our purpose. If we spread Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada said, automatically people will be vegetarian. Why is everyone in this room a vegetarian? For ethical reasons? It's because everyone's a devotee of Krishna, so you're automatically vegetarians. We're automatically vegetarians because of Krishna. It's not because Peta got to us or any of these, Peta, however they pronounce it. They got to us and convinced us that it was more ethical, that it was more compassionate. It's just included in the package. You become a devotee. Otherwise, you become a vegetarian, but you're still addicted to sex. You're a vegetarian, but you're still addicted to intoxicants. You're vegetarian, but you're still gambling. So then we have to make a campaign, an anti-smoking campaign. We're against smoking. An anti-abortion campaign. We're against abortion. An a temperance campaign, anti-alcohol campaign. We have to help the people who are addicted to alcohol. We have to help the people who are addicted to smoking. We have to help the people who are addicted to drugs. We have to help the people who are violent. We have to help the people who are victims of rape and victims of oppression. And there are religions, major mainline religions these days, their work is social work. Their founder came to deliver people from the material world, and his followers are trying to uplift people to a better position in the material world. If that's what we become, then we're useless. Jesus said, "You're the salt of the earth. If the salt loses its savor, then it's what good is it? If it's not salty, what use?" So our business is to spread the message of Krishna. If we're not doing that, what's the use of us? If we're just spreading the message of vegetarianism, or spreading the message of a more peaceful way of life, or living in harmony with others, or living in harmony with the land, or 100,000 other things we can campaign for to make this a better world. Our business is not to make this a better world. Our business is to give people the message of Krishna. Then automatically it will be a better world. But that's not our purpose. Our purpose is to say, it's a lousy world, get out of here. But because you're Krishna conscious, as far as the world can be good, it will be good. But it's bad. The expression is, you can't make a silk purse of a sow's ear. The material world is never going to be Sukhalaya. So Prabhupada was so strong on this, actually, that we're not in the business of mundane welfare work. We're not the karmakandis engaged in pious activity to uplift people. Nor do we distribute prasadam in that mood that people are hungry, so we have to feed them, and they're getting prasadam. Their problem is they're not getting Krishna. Therefore, we're interested in giving them prasadam. And we don't care if they're poor or they're rich or they're in between. That's what Prabhupada said. Rich or poor, doesn't matter. Everyone is poor. I'm not making it up.
Maharaj, what about Shantipur? I remember earlier in the years, I went to India and I went to Shantipur with all the prasadam distribution. And thousands upon thousands and thousands upon people came. Most of them very poor and very needy. Shantipur. And prasadam was distributed from morning till night, till dusk.
You go anywhere in India and distribute prasadam, you'll have thousands of people, morning till night. I don't know what the program was in Shantipur.
That's been going on for years.
Madhavendra Puri, okay, yes. Because there was a festival connected with Madhavendra Puri, so we do Sankirtan and distribute prasadam. That's our program. Not that people in Shantipur are poor. They may be Shantipur, Shanti rich, we don't care. Yeah, I mean, we were going with Padayatra and doing our festival program. Then Lokanath Maharaj wanted to introduce prasadam distribution. Then the problem was that wherever you distributed the prasadam from, they'd just totally mob us. And so that was not because they were poor, but because it was prasadam. You know, like when you pass around the RT lamp here, you know, everybody jumps on you. You don't want to be where the RT lamp is when they're passing it around, because everybody just lunges, because it's Krishna's mercy, not because they're feeling cold. Yes.
I just had a quick question in defense of what Nandini was saying about prasadam distribution in Dallas. Obviously, the restaurant is the core element of the prasadam distribution here. And I think we can say it's one of the more successful restaurants in America. Mm. And back then, I think the concern was the leftover prasadam. So that was distributed to the people that could not afford to come here.
Mm. That's nice. Of course, the first thing is you try to cook the appropriate amount. But then, all right, what's left over, you distribute. Here or there. We also used to 26 Second Avenue after the feast, the next day, whatever was left over, we used to go to the Bowery and distribute. And they would be very happy. And if it was a little bit turning, we would tell them it was rum and they'd be still more happy. Prabhupada told us, actually, we told him that. Prabhupada said we should go to the Bowery and have Sankirtan. And distribute books also. And we did. And the bums were giving us money. Yes.
I had a quick question. My Guru Maharaj, Tamal Krishna Swami, he was speaking personally to me about this once, and then he showed me a letter from Srila Prabhupada where Prabhupada said, it's in the letter's book, it's actually printed, it's one of the first volume, it's in the first volume. And in the letter, Srila Prabhupada's making the point that if you distribute prasadam, even in the temple, and you don't engage someone in devotional service, you're strengthening maya.
Acha.
It's a letter clearly states that you are strengthening maya, and he makes the point that even us, we come here and eat and then go out, say, and, you know, engage in intoxication or do some mundane activity, you know, like that, then the prasadam distribution is actually putting us in maya. Mm. Or what to speak of somebody coming off the street. Mm. You know, goes after they come here and eat, or they go out to some free food distribution point and eat, and then go out and, you know, beg in the street and go and buy alcohol, and they're laying out here around the neighborhood, you know. Mm. And so many examples are like that. You know, even with us going and, you know, pursuing some mundane and you know, ambition, you know, but coming here to eat for free to strengthen that. So I was wondering if you could comment on that and explain it.
Well, it seems like you've already got it down. I'd like to see that letter.
Well, I think it carries a lot more weight, especially with your position and realization.
I don't carry more weight than Prabhupada. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj, you know, underlined it. So I think it's clear. You feed a person performing sinful activities, and you feed him so that he can continue his sinful activities. Our purpose is to bring a person to the level of Krishna consciousness. So our prasadam distribution is meant to be in that context, to work in that context, that you'll come to the temple and everything will be there. There'll be prasadam, there'll be wonderful darshan, there'll be friendly devotees, there'll be books of knowledge. Not that we make the material world a better place for you. That's not our job. Yes?
Just clarification. So your explanation of Prabhupada's instructions is that prasadam distribution is not supposed to be a standalone program, that it's meant to be integrated with kirtan or some type of...
That's what Prabhupada said. Not to the emergency place, but from our temple, or when we go for Sankirtan. Letter to Jayapataka Swami. That's what he said.
And there's an exchange from Prabhupada where devotees asked him, is it guaranteed if someone eats prasadam that they'll get a human birth in their next life? And Prabhupada said, if they eat prasadam knowing that this is the Lord's mercy, this is food offered to God with love. He said, if they don't have this understanding that it's, they don't even know that it's prasadam, that the result is different. That their only opportunity is to take prasadam again at some time in the future. But not, the benefits are seen when the person has actually an understanding that they're eating food offered to God.
Yeah, the dream of the hippies was to put LSD in the water, public water supply. You know, so people would unknowingly all get high. So that's not, our mission is not to, you know, slip prasadam in there someplace so that unknowingly they get transformed. Our purpose is to just broadcast the glories of Krishna. And in that connection, when there's prasadam distribution, it's wonderful. I was just at the L.A. Ratiatra. They had so many packets, and in each packet, a small book was there, a little card with the mantra was there, something else, a couple other little things, and a little lollipop that had been offered to the deities. So they got knowledge, and they got prasadam, and they got the holy name.
That brought into my mind about the secret weapon thing, but you just explained that, because in that realm they would be getting preached to, and then in comes the secret weapon. So
yeah,
that's there.
Yeah.
That wasn't my question though, but that was just something I remembered. And I don't remember my question, so I apologize.
Okay, well, that's all right. It'll come back maybe.
Maharaj, a question's coming to my mind about restaurants, about our distribution of prasadam in the restaurants. Of course, people are paying for the prasadam, so that's used to spread the movement. Mm. And like in our case, the restaurant's right in the temple, so many people do frequent the temple, or at least, you know, they're contacting devotees. But I was wondering if you could explain a little bit about the program of prasadam distribution from restaurants?
Well, you've sort of already got it, that by having the restaurant, now people come to the restaurant, and because the restaurant is part of the temple complex, then they come to the temple. So it works. Now they have a reason, an excuse, a motivation to come. Also, Prabhupada said that in the restaurant, kirtan should be played in a mild tune, I think was Prabhupada's words. The kirtan is playing. So they're hearing the holy name also. And his books should be there. That was the next thing. So that you come to the restaurant, you hear the holy name, you get the opportunity to get some books, and in that way, it works together. It was meant not just as a way to feed people, but as a way to, as again, part of an integrated strategy for bringing people to Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada wanted reading rooms also, where people could stop in and read. I would put the two together. You make like a cafe. That's how bookstores are done these days. You make a cafe, fast food, tasty little things that you can distribute very easily. And they can sit there, munch, and books are there. They can read and purchase. All right. So many ways we can try. Prabhupada said, strain your brain to how to make people Krishna conscious. But we shouldn't overstrain it by doing the things that Prabhupada told us not to do. All right. Thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda ki jai, Gaur Premananda.